Rainmaker FM. A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish, so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
Jeff, it's our last podcast. I can't believe it.
Don't tell me that. It makes me sad.
I know. I can't believe it. But the book is now out there. It has now launched. So I thought we could do kind of a wrap-up episode and talk about what happened with the launch. And I could give you kind of the blow-by-blow account of how everything has gone. And it has not been perfect. I know that is going to shock you, but it has not been perfect. It's funny how, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews and people are, you know, they say all these things. Oh, you've been all over. The launch seems like it's been amazing. And of course, I know, like, well, you know, behind the scenes, it's never as perfect as it looks on the surface. But the one thing that I can tell you is that truer words were never spoken. When you said to me a couple of podcasts back, or a couple of episodes back, you said, the best marketing of any book is the content of the book itself. Mm-hmm. And that has proved to be so true, because what I ended up doing was sharing book excerpts on a lot of big websites, and that has helped the launch a lot. I shared a series of excerpts on Copyblogger. I did an infographic around excerpts from the book. I had a post on Convince and Convert, Jay Baer's blog. I had a post on Smart Blogger, which again was another excerpt. That's John Morrow's blog. And then Duct Tape Marketing, which is John Jantz's blog.
Yeah.
Another excerpt. So it's been fantastic. And those blog posts were relatively easy to put together because they were basically excerpts from the book. In some cases, I shorten, you know, if it was from kind of a long chapter, I would shorten the material so it would work better as a piece of content marketing online. But it was so easy to get those blog posts written, and they hit at a very, very busy time for me, and I was able to put them together. So that ended up being incredibly true, that if you write a good book, that really helps with your marketing.
Yeah. I mean, it just, this is true always, but it seems to be especially true with book marketing. And recently I launched the latest version of my online course, Tribe Writers, and it was a great launch, but we had these stretch goals that we did not meet. And we were sort of scratching our heads over this going, well, what's the problem? And, you know, we started talking to some other people in this online marketing space, you know, doing information products and online courses. And we realized, wow, when I started doing this 5 years ago, having an online course was kind of exceptional. Whereas today, it's not. It's ubiquitous. I mean, there's lots of competition. Everybody has a course. And so, long story short, for us, you know, myself and my team, it went back to the product. How can we make this thing better? How can we make it unique? And how can we, in our marketing, emphasize the distinctives of this product that set it apart from everything else out there? And when you think about commodities, you know, in a sense, you know, there's nothing more commodified than a book. There's so many of them out there. You know, you're using the same tools that everybody else is using: paper, ink, and words, information. And yet, there's this huge disparity between best-selling books and all the rest of the books. And so what it comes down to, I think, in terms of communicating a compelling marketing message is you have to use the same stuff, the same tools that everybody else uses, and do something different, do something unique with it, that when people buy the book and open it up, it resonates with them. They go, oh yeah, this is what I was promised, versus, you know, I feel hoodwinked or something. And I'm glad that, I mean, you spent a year, Pamela, investing in the product of your book. And I'm sure there are things that you wish you could, you know, go back and change or do differently or whatever. And that's part of the process too. But you spent enough time to make a great book. And I think that's just what you did. And I'm glad that you invested that time.
Yeah, me too. And the interesting thing is I had kind of a serious family matter that came up in the past month, right smack in the middle of everything, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I had to take care of it. It was something, you know, it was a personal matter I had to take care of. And there was a moment there where I was like, you know, maybe I should just put this book launch off. Mm-hmm. But then I kept remembering our last conversation where you said, you know, the launch is basically just getting it off the platform. And from there, it's like step one. And from there, you can take your book on a long trip and you've got lots of opportunities to continue to promote it. And I just kept telling myself, like, I'm just going to get it launched and then I'll have time and I'll have lots of time to do other things with it. So I went ahead with it. And so much of what I had set up ahead of time was already in place. So it was just a matter of letting it play out. And so that was despite, you know, the family matter that I had to take care of, and despite the fact that I had to fit a couple of trips in there, and I had to, you know, I was in Denver speaking at our conference. And I mean, there were just so many plates in the air. And despite that, the book still launched, and I'm very happy with how it's turned out. So it truly is the first step, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be done, right?
Yeah.
Done is better than perfect. It's really, really true, and it definitely applies to books. Later today, I'll be offering the bonus webinar to people who signed up for the bonus materials associated with the book. So for anyone listening who buys the book well after the launch period, that webinar is going to be available in the bonus materials area. So for anyone in the future, they'll be able to see the webinar I'm putting on today. So that's kind of a cool thing. And it's got, as of now, 23 five-star reviews on Amazon, which is exciting because it's only really been out officially for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's no small thing, by the way. I have a friend who recently released a book, and it was number one, number two on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. And this author has 24 reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. That's amazing.
I think it's great too. And honestly, it's a very niche topic. You know, yep. It doesn't really, I'm not teaching people how to lose the last 10 pounds or how to find the love of their life or anything like that. It's a very niche topic. So I'm excited. And I have to say, like, I just have to brag about the people who've left reviews. I think I have some of the most well-written, thoughtful reviews that you will find on Amazon. I mean, people really went to an effort to craft these reviews that are thoughtful and well-written, and it's pretty amazing. So I'm very, very grateful to everyone who has taken the extra time to leave a review. And I remember you and I talking about this ahead of time and how that's so important. And it feels very important now, because every review that's left on Amazon or in any public forum where the book is being sold feels like a testimonial, really, mm-hmm. a testimonial for the book from a real person, a real reader. So it's super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, you know, the more I do this, the more I realize what I really want to do is I want to connect with people. I want to touch their minds, their souls, you know, whatever the goal of your writing is. But you want to make some sort of connection, create an impact. And a review is a great way to get qualitative feedback on how well, you know, you're doing that. Hitting a bestseller list, sure, that's great. We'd all, you know, we all want to do that. But at the end of the day, I think what you want, especially with a book as niche as this, you want to know that what you had to say contributed something to this industry, this domain of knowledge that resonates with people. They feel like you added something new to the conversation. You clarified something that was unclear. You simplified something that was complex. And 100%, 100% right now of your reviews, Pamela, are 5-star reviews. And as you said, there's some really thorough, you know, quality reviews here that I think are demonstrative of the quality of your book.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great feeling, and it's fascinating to see the things that people pull out to highlight, you know?
Yeah.
It's fascinating to get that kind of feedback and hear, you know, I appreciated this, or I enjoyed this, or I'm already using this technique and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I've been lucky because I had that book factory. So I was getting feedback all along, helpful feedback, encouraging feedback all along. I can't imagine someone who doesn't have that because honestly, you toil away alone and in silence for all those months, and to not have any kind of feedback on the work has to be hard. But it is amazing to see people hold the whole thing in their hands and just hear what they highlight and what they really enjoy. So, okay, so I have to tell you about the random weirdness because that may not be obvious on the surface, but for anyone listening, you and I have vowed to make this podcast about what it's really like to write a book. So this is not all the rose-colored glasses version of the process. This is the real version. So the random weirdness that happened during my launch is that it wasn't last Friday, it would have been about 10 days ago, the very first day that the book went on sale, there was a major distributed denial of service attack across the internet. This was October 21st. And Amazon was one of the sites that was down. A lot of the major e-commerce sites were down for a good chunk of the day that my book was first on sale. So that's the kind of stuff it's like, okay, I got no control over that. That's the kind of stuff that's going to happen, and you just have to kind of roll with it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's always going to be something. There's never going to be a perfect thing. And as I've shared in the past, the launch is important, right? But if you look at my most recent book, 70% of the sales came after the launch. And so that's significant. You know, we had a good launch. We sold, you know, 18,000 books when it was all said and done within the first, 15 to 30 days of the launch. And that was great. That was awesome. And that was a really powerful launch that landed the book on some bestsellers lists and, you know, did some things, you know, for me in terms of just getting me in front of some audiences that hadn't, encountered my work before. But the mass of people who eventually bought the book were not included in that list of early adopters. And so whether you have an amazing launch or not, your job is to keep going. If the internet breaks, as it felt like it did that day, I was on a webinar with 1,000 people, and it just stopped.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, it felt like El Nino. Like anything that went wrong during that time, I just blamed on that DDoS attack. But there'll always be something. There'll be family things, personal things. There'll be something to interrupt this thing because that's just life.
Yeah.
Stephen Pressfield calls it resistance. You know, there are forces that are trying to prohibit you from sharing your creative work with the world. And I'm not paranoid, but, you know, I buy into some of that. I think that whether those forces are internal or external or both, there's important work that we have to share. And if we feel that sense of resistance, like somebody or something is trying to prevent us from sharing this work with the world, even if we don't know where that resistance is coming from, that to me is a sign that this is important work and it needs to get out into the world. And, you know, our job is to just keep pushing through.
Yeah. I love his work. Stephen Pressfield's work is so great for dealing with that internal resistance that we kind of manufacture ourselves. Some of it is just external resistance. So it's external forces that you have absolutely no control over, and you just have to work your way around them and do the best you can. The other thing that has happened, and I am still trying to figure out why this is, but right now, if you go to the book on Amazon and you want to buy the print book, on the right column where you actually place your order, it says in stock, but may require an extra 1 to 2 days to process. So I've been talking to the people at Amazon and they're saying it's an issue with Ingram Spark. And I'm talking to the people at Ingram Spark and they're saying it's an Amazon problem. So I'm still, because people order the book and it's produced right away and shipped out to them. So that message is not accurate. I mean, the book is being shipped and there is no delay that I can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my understanding of that, Pamela, is that's pretty typical when you're working with Ingram through Amazon, where you're using Ingram Spark as your print service, and you're using Amazon as your book distributor. I don't know of a way around that. It seems pretty typical, unless you can find a way to work with Amazon to stock up on your book. And the only way I know how to do that is to get a bunch of sales and have some sort of sustained sales success where, you know, the sales just keep coming and they go, okay, we got to stock up on this.
Yeah.
This happens though. I mean, this happens with traditional publishers. Like my first book, this happened where they ran out of stock. And what happens with Amazon is once they start running low, that's just an automatic message that pops up. And it's all algorithmic, you know, sciencey stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. And there's really no way around it unless you can be stocked up. And the way that you can be stocked up is you get lots of sales. But this is what it means to be a publisher. This is what it means to be, you know, the person or the entity in charge of getting this book out into the world. And publishers deal with this, and a lot of self-published authors deal with it as well. I was talking to a leadership coach recently, and he was encouraging me, and I thought it was fascinating advice. He was encouraging me to cast vision with my team. You know, I run a small team, you know, mm-hmm. for our business. And he said, and we had this experience recently where we were projecting X amount of sales and we got Y, you know, in terms of the result. And I said, what do I do with this? You know, like, do I tell them I'm disappointed? Do I say, hey, we'll get them next time? What do I do? He said, I think the best thing for you to do is, cast vision and to tell them this is the job of the entrepreneur. Like the job of the entrepreneur is sometimes we take risks and what we think is going to happen doesn't happen. And our job is to keep going and to figure out why it didn't happen and to improve and get better and keep going. And I love that. I mean, I literally never would have thought that my job as an employer is to communicate to my employees. This is what we all signed up for in, you know, becoming a part of a small entrepreneurial startup. And he said, what you want is you want to continually be, you know, empowering people and bringing them up to, you know, where you are as a leader and helping them understand the responsibilities associated with that. And I think this is a great time because this is the heartbeat of this podcast, is to say, like, this is one of the things that happens. Like, you take full ownership over the creation, publication, and distribution of a self-published book. And this is one of the things that can happen. And it's very common because it has nothing to do with being a self-published author and has everything to do with being a publisher, period. Mm. And this is why publishers take 70% of the royalties that, you know, quote unquote, belong to the author, because they've got to deal with all of the hassle of getting on the phone with so-and-so and figuring out such and such. Mm. And that's, you know, that's the job. That's the difference between being an employee and being an entrepreneur. You are an entrepreneurial author and you get all of the hassle and all of the rewards that are associated with that.
Right. You get the full package for sure. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that because one of the things Sonia, Simone, and I have been talking a lot lately because we're actually working on a book together. So my next book is going to be written with Sonia. So that's fun. Super excited about that. It's going to be fantastic. So, but one of the things that we've talked about recently is this idea that as an entrepreneur, you're sort of in this position like the captain of an airplane, where you get on the speaker and you say, okay, folks, we're going to start here and we're going to land there and we'll go up to this, this altitude and there might be some bumpiness, but it's under control and this is what I want you to do and this is how it's going to play out. And you cast the vision. You basically cast the vision from the cockpit because you're about to go on this scary ride where you're defying gravity and going up above the clouds, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's very reassuring to people, and I'm sure it's reassuring to your employees, for them to hear, I'm piloting this trip. Like, I've got this under control, and it may be bumpy, but I've got this, you know? And I think that as authors, that's one of our jobs as well, to paint a picture of how we're going to get them from point A to point B at the end of our books.
Yep. I love that.
Interesting. So looking to the future, I am working on book two. I loved this process. It's been one of my favorite things that I've done in my career. So I'm working on book two. Yeah. Sonia and I kind of have a structure mapped out. So that I think that's going to be a really great thing. And I'm going to continue to launch and relaunch Master Content Marketing. It's now off the ground and it's on its trip. So we'll see where this rocket ends up going. But and I am talking about maybe developing a course around the material in the book that we could offer at Rainmaker Digital. So that could be very exciting too. And then I think I mentioned to you that I've got people saying to me, you know, you should do something with Zero to Book. just putting that out there, that there are people who have thought about that. So yeah, it's so interesting with online information, how you can repurpose things that originally appear in one format and make them into something else and offer them in a different format, maybe even take something that was free and offer it for sale with some additional information. So yeah, lots of possibilities for the future.
Yeah, I was having lunch with my operations director and he goes, I guess he was talking to you. Kyle was talking to you and he was going, yeah, I was talking to Pamela Wilson, maybe at the Tribe conference or something. And he was talking to my editor, Chantel, whom we talked about on this show. And she mentioned Zero to Book. And he was like, this is literally the first that I'm hearing of this. And we've worked together for like 7 months and he's been, you know, basically helping run my business. And he goes, I had no idea that you were doing this. I was like, yeah, like I probably should do a better job of like letting people know that, you know, we did this thing on the side. But it was super fun. And I hope it was helpful. And I think the whole goal of this was, you know, you're a friend and I was going to answer your questions regardless. But I'm glad that we were able to record these conversations and, you know, hopefully share them with those who are going through the journey and also with posterity for, you know, future generations of authors. I really think we live in this incredible age of opportunity when you can record, you can capture so much of everything that used to be like, I got to write this down in a book and put it in a library or, you know, generations of oral tradition or something. And we just get to record the things that we're creating while we're creating them. And people get to build upon the work that we've done if we're faithful in, you know, capturing the actual process. And so I think it's an incredible opportunity for whatever anybody listening to this does to just take a moment and hit record and, you know, do this not for your sake, but for somebody else's sake so that they can go further faster than you were able to go. And I'm grateful that you said yes to that, Pamela, because I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Well, you suggested the idea, and honestly, it would not have even occurred to me. So I'm grateful that you suggested it. And I'm so grateful to people who have listened to this podcast and encouraged us as we've gone along. It has been very kind of spontaneous. I mean, I have had the questions I've had. I've shown up to record with you and ask the questions live, basically. I mean, there's been, I had some people saying, so how did you prepare and how did you structure? I'm like, no preparation and no structure, okay? I was writing a book. I had some questions and Jeff answered my questions and that was about the extent of the preparation. But I think it has been valuable and the feedback that we've gotten from our listeners is that it's been very helpful. So I am grateful to you and I'm grateful to everyone who's listened to this process and mastercontentmarketing.com. It's now available. So the baby that we've all been working on for all these months has now been born. So I'm a proud parent right now. It's a very exciting moment.
I love that. And I love what you did, Pamela, in inviting other people along for the journey. I think that every story of success is really a story of community. And we all want to be a part of something that's bigger than us. And we want to feel a sense of ownership and something that is affecting a lot of people's lives. And you did that with Master Content Marketing. And I was grateful to be a part of that. So thank you.
All right. And, you know, we may be back again to check in on this, but for now, it's the last episode for a little while. So thank you again to everyone who's listened. If you have not taken the time to leave a review for the podcast, we would love to hear from you. And if you have purchased Master Content Marketing, please leave a review for the book, because Jeff was right. Those reviews really matter to the author, and I would love to hear what you think about the final product. So thanks again, Jeff.
Thank you, Pamela. It was fun.